The Bible reading comes from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 to chapter 2, verse 3. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy, because I am holy. Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Reverend Vincent Ma will now bring us the message. Thank you.
Thank you, Phil, for your prayer and Jeanette for your Bible reading. Just one thing that I missed out on the announcements earlier. The theme for our Father's Day service is like father, like son. It's going to be a great message that reminds us of who we are, that we are children of God. And so just thought I'd let you know about that. Before we get into God's word, let me encourage you to have your Bibles open, your devices open at 1 Peter. And I'm going to pray for our time together in God's word. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word. Thank you that you speak to us in our different situations. Even though we can't gather together in person, we can still gather together online and we can still be a community under you, God. Please speak to us, Lord. Please point us clearly to Jesus and the hope which he has given us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Hope, it's such an important aspect of life, isn't it? It's been said that where there is hope, there is life, and where there is no hope, there is no life. In life, it's so important to have hope. Hope affects our quality of life. I remember a few years ago, a friend of mine was sharing with me how devastated he was when his mother said to him that she didn't want to fight the cancer anymore. When the future ahead offered her little but pain and weakness and suffering, when it seemed that all her dreams had been destroyed, when all she could feel was loss, she felt hopeless, and so she had given up on living. And this is why it's so difficult for people who suffer from depression, isn't it? Hope has a direct impact on the quality of our life. Now, I'm not here this morning to help you deal with the problem of depression or to be a psychologist to you. That's something which we all might need help with at different times. If you struggle with depression, then let me encourage you to see someone, about to talk to your GP, and do talk to one another. Have a chat with myself or any of the other pastors. We'd love to try and help you through your struggle. But what I want us to focus on this morning is how hope, the Christian hope, the hope in Jesus and the life to come, impacts our life. And the key idea I want us to take away today is how we hope shapes how we live. How we hope shapes how we live. It should shape how we live. Now, we've been working through the first chapter of 1 Peter. We've looked at the first 12 verses fairly carefully so far. And we've been taught about the certain and unfading hope we have in Jesus. It's a hope that is alive. It's alive because Jesus is alive. For he died for our sins and he rose from the dead. And we who have put our trust in Jesus, we have been given an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. An inheritance that is kept in heaven for us. This is the Christian hope. And this hope should shape how we live our lives in the time that we have on earth. So verse 13 we're looking at this morning, to 2 verse 3 that was read to us, and it opens with an important connecting word. Therefore, or because of the hope I've just spoken about in the first 12 verses, because of our hope, what? Therefore, because of this, do this. Live in this way. And there are five things which Peter calls us to do in this section. So I'll get Justin to throw up the screen for us. This is just screen share. These are the five things. Thanks, Justin. These are the five things in the verses that we are called to do in response to the hope that we have. So, one, set your hope. We see that in verse 13. Two, be holy, verses 14 to 16. Three, we ought to fear God, verse 17 to 21. Four, love one another, verses 22 to 25. It's probably more 2 verse 1, and chapter 2 verse 2 to 3 is crave spiritual milk. So they're the five things that we ought to do in response to the hope that we have. So I'll let Justin leave it up there for a moment. He'll take it off when he feels everyone's written that down, if you wanted to do that. So they're the five things. Now, because of time, like all of those deserve a sermon in and of itself, I think. But because of time, I'm just going to look at three of them, 1, 2, and 5. That's what we're going to look at. And I encourage you to dig into the other two in your own time. But let's look at those three, 1, 2, and 5. So the first thing I want to highlight is Peter calls us to set our hope. So he says in verse 13, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. Now, this is such a helpful verse when we think about the Christian hope, because it really does teach us how to hope. You see, hope is not just something that's out there that we understand it, that we have, but hope is something that we do. Really important to think about. It's not just something that we have, but it's something that we do. And in verse 13, Peter teaches us three aspects of how to hope. Now, the core of it is actually in the middle of the verse there, where he calls us to set our hope. Set our hope. In other words, we are to fix our hope, or we are to stand firm in this hope, to not be moved from this hope. So he calls us to set our hope. And notice how we are to set our hope. He says in the phrase before, it is with minds that are alert and fully sober. Now, that is a fair translation, but I think to really get the depth of what Peter is talking about here, I think it's helpful to share with you what the original Greek actually says there. In the original Greek, the phrase with minds that are alert is literally gird up the loins of your mind. Now, what does it mean to gird up the loins? Well, in the Middle East, even to this day, not just women, but we can see men walking around with long robes down to their feet. And if they wanted to get somewhere quickly, what they would do is they would lift up the bottom of their robes up to their waist, and they'll grab a belt, cloth belt normally, and they'll tie the bottom around their waist so it was secure, and so their legs would be free to run to wherever they had to get to. So that's what it means to gird up your loins. And here Peter is using this as an analogy for our minds, to gird up the loins of your minds. In other words, to be prepared to go somewhere. You are setting out on an important journey that you want to get to. You want to make sure you get there. So you gird up your loins, you're ready to go, you're alert, and you are focused as you set forth on your journey. So with minds that are alert and fully sober, we are intentional, we are focused, and this is how we are to hope, how we set our hope. We are setting out for a journey, and we're determined to get there. And this is so important for us in how we live our lives today with hope. You know, there are so many things that this world pushes us in and pulls us here and there and throws us off course. And all these messages that the world throws at us, they say to us, come. They call us to come over here, come over there. This is where happiness is. This is where satisfaction is. This is where you should put your hope. Money, career, relationships, popularity, the things of this world, all these different messages pulling us and pushing us in different directions, tempting us to go off course. And Peter says here, don't be swayed. Set your hope. Don't be tempted or distracted to sway off course, but with alertness and with steadfast focus, set your hope. And notice the destination of this hope, the end point of this hope that we're setting forth on. It is the grace that will finally be realized when Jesus returns on the last day. That's what he says there. And that's the point. When Jesus returns, he will gather all of God's people and he will bring them into his Father's home. That is the day we long for. That is where we're setting our mind's eye towards, and we will be there one day, and we will be God's people, and God himself will be with us, and he will be our God, and he will wipe away every tear from our eyes, and there'll be no more pain or mourning or crying or suffering. That is our destination, where we will be resurrected as our Lord Jesus was resurrected, and we will live in an unbroken, wonderful relationship with God in heaven forever. So this is how we are to hope. To hope is to fix our eyes and our minds, our focus on heaven above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And in this life, as we live with hope, we need to remember that we are on a journey. We are heading somewhere. We are moving somewhere. We are to be alert and focused and determined, striving out for that hope which has been given to us already in Jesus. That is how to hope as a Christian. It's not just an intellectual acknowledgement, but it is an intentional movement towards God, who is in heaven, overseeing everything. And what Peter wants to teach us now is that how we hope, will shape how we live. And so the next command that I want to highlight here today is that we are called to be holy. If we hope in God, we are called to be holy. We ought to live a life that is holy. And so Peter calls us to be holy as God himself is holy. To be holy literally means to be separate, to be set apart, to be different from what, you might ask? Well, different from the world. We are called to be set apart from this world. And so this is what Peter says in verses 14 to 16. Have a look there in your Bibles. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. The first thing he says there is that we are obedient children. Once we weren't obedient children because we didn't know that God was our Father. Once we didn't treat God as our Father. And Peter tells us, now that you know God, now that you have hope in God, now that you are a child of God, you should stop conforming to the evil desires that you had when you lived in ignorance. And I think that verse is probably more helpfully translated in the ESV. And this is how the ESV puts it. Do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. So in other words, once we lived with our selfish desires because we didn't know any better, but now we do know God as our Father, we ought to be different. We ought to be set apart from the world. We are not to live as the world lives anymore, which lives to gratify its own sinful desires, seeking pleasure and satisfaction in the here and now. But we are children of God. And as he is holy, we are also called to be holy. We are not to be like the world, but we are called to be like God, who is holy. You know, this world is temporary and perishing, but our God is eternal. This world is created, but our God is the creator. This world is fallen and decaying and full of problems, but our God is perfect. This world is uncertain and it's always changing, and COVID is a prime example of that. But our God is sovereign and he is always in control and he is always the same. This world is lost, but God is our Savior. We who are children of God, we do not belong to this world anymore, but we belong to God, and we are called not to be like the world, but to be like God. And this is where our hope in a holy God changes everything about how we live, doesn't it? Once we did not know God, so we put our hope in this world and the things of this world. We put our hope in the created things rather than in the Creator. We put our hope in our careers, in our relationships, in wealth, in possessions. But Peter says our hope is different. Our hope is not in this world. Our hope is in God, a God who is holy, a God who is different and set apart. And we, his children, are called to be like him, not like the rest of the world. Now, if we're honest, this isn't easy, is it? To be holy as our God is holy, to be different to this world, I've got to admit, it's just so easy. It's easy because we all like to be liked, don't we? We want people to like us. And because we want people to like us, we tend to try and be like them, to be like the world, so that they would like us. And in this country, Australia, that's becoming more and more secular, if we say that we want to be like God and faithful to God, then our lives will tend to look more and more different to our nation as it becomes more and more secular. We will look more and more different to the world. You know, we live in a world, for instance, where sex before marriage is a given. We live in a world where greed is normal. We live in a world where storing up treasures on earth is admired, actually. And yet, as Christians, our hope is not on this earth. Our hope is in God and in heaven forever. And if that is truly where our hope is, then we should look different to the world. We are called to be holy as our God is holy. How we hope shapes how we live. Now, this leads me to the last point I want to highlight in our section of 1 Peter today, and that comes actually from 1 Peter 2, verses 2 to 3, and this is what Peter says there. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Now, I want to start there with the last phrase there. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Well, how have we tasted that the Lord is good? What's he talking about here? Well, what Peter's referring to here is everything really that he's been talking about in chapter 1. We have tasted this wonderful message of God's eternal salvation through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus, his resurrection, we have this hope that can never perish. We've tasted it. In other words, he's saying here, now that you've tasted this hope, this wonderful message of salvation, eternal life that has been bought by the blood of Jesus. And this message, this word has been revealed to you. You've tasted it. And that is what is awaiting us in heaven. An inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. Now that you've tasted that, well, crave it all the more. Crave this message of God even more. Like newborn babies crave their mother's milk. Peter is saying here, we ought to crave the pure spiritual milk, which is the word of God, so that by it we may grow up in our salvation. You see, our hope should not be stagnant. As we continue in our life, heading towards that hope which has been set before us, we should be growing in our hope. We've tasted it. We've tasted how good it is. And if we've tasted it, well, we should want more of it. We've tasted a little of his goodness and his kindness and his love for us, and we should long for more of it. We should long to know the love of God more and more, to know more of how wonderful the knowledge of God is and the joy of his salvation. Now, I wonder if any of you here listening today has forgotten actually how good God is. Maybe you have tasted that God is good, but you've kind of forgotten. You feel dry and distant in your relationship with God. Have you forgotten how wonderful his salvation is? Have you lost the hope that you once had? Well, there's a good chance that one of the main reasons why this hope is feeling dry is because you have not been feeding your soul with God's word. And I know that when I reflect on the moments in my life when I've been spiritually dry and distant from God, that has been the case in my life. I was away from God's word. And it's usually because I became complacent and lazy in my daily devotional life, my daily time in reading God's word. Now, when I reflect on those times and how I got there, it wasn't because I made this intentional decision. Oh, from this day forward, I'm going to stop doing my daily devotions. I don't think any of us set out with that intention. But actually, what happens is that we get distracted, we get busy, we lose focus, the focus that Peter was talking about, to gird the loins of our minds, so we set our hope, and we forget that, and we place our hopes on other things, and we get busy with different things, busy working, busy playing, busy studying, but not busy seeking God. You see, we can be busy doing so many things, even busy doing ministry, which, so, you know, I don't want to shock you, but as a pastor, that can happen even. I can be busy doing good things like ministry and yet not wholeheartedly seeking the Lord and enjoying him and his word. And if that's you this morning, then I really want to encourage you to crave the spiritual milk, which is the word of God. You know, we say it so often in this church to, you know, really set aside time with God purely to seek God in his word. It's so important. And, you know, And we make no apologies for repeating this application to you probably every second sermon we talk about that. But it really is irreplaceable. It's so important to crave this spiritual milk, this word of God that is so important, so good for us, so that we can spend the time that we need to ponder and to reflect and to appreciate the kindness and the sacrifice and the patience and the love that God has poured out for you in his son Jesus. Taste and see how good God is. The Bible is not just a word for godly, spiritually strong men and women, but it is a word for the sinners and the strugglers in this world. And if that is you, then let me encourage you to take hold of God's word and feed your weary soul, your dry, parched soul, and fill it with the life-quenching word of God. And for those of us who know this hope, who are confident in this hope, let us keep growing in this hope, and let us also hold out this hope to the world. We live in a time where there is so much uncertainty, where our plans have been thrown out the window, where there is turmoil all around the world, and there's danger in Afghanistan, and there's all this uncertainty, and it's easy to feel hopeless. It's easy to see, well, is this ever going to end? Lockdown, come out of lockdown, back in lockdown. Is this going to happen again and again? Will there ever be an end? Will there be another strain of the virus that's even worse than this Delta strain that comes out? Will this ever end? It's so easy to feel hopeless in this world. But let us remember that in this time of uncertainty, we Christians have this hope. This hope that we can hold out to the world that is crying out for answers, seeking an answer for certainty, for hope. And that word of hope is Jesus. Let's pray. A loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that by the precious blood of Jesus, we have been made right. Our sins have been forgiven, and we have been brought near to you. And we've been given this tremendous and wonderful and awesome hope, where one day we will be secure with you forever in your home, God. We thank you and praise you. We long for that day when Jesus returns. Lord, help us to set our hope on this, to not lose sight of this hope, not to be swayed by this world, to go this way or that way, but help us to stay on course, to keep moving towards heaven, where Jesus is seated at your right hand. And Father, thank you for this hope that we have. We pray, God, that we will not keep it to ourselves, but we will hold it out to this world that needs it so badly. In Jesus' name, amen. Over to Waylita for our song of response. Thank you.